This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
December, January are the months where you have to show resilience. You have to show how much you want to win, and the boys did that again. So in a difficult game against a team who obviously found an organization, and they're working out together for a week, I think, and they found an organization which will cause other teams problems as well. That's how it is. On top of that, today, and that obviously influenced both teams. You know, nobody likes when I talk about the win. So, but today it was in some moments really tricky for us, but it helped us in two moments. I think Saar would have hit the ball if there's not, if it's not like this, and other balls, it was just difficult to judge the situation. So that made the game. We saw, and we had to fight. That's what we did. We had to use Ali. I think 85 minutes roundabout, he did some warming up exercises, but in all the other moments, he was then really there. Unbelievable, super safe. So that helped today. And apart from that, as I said, we had to fight for the result. That's what we did. And yeah, now we're for 3 points.
Off the Ball kicks off now on BFM 89.9.
They are one step closer to realising their English Premier League champions' dream. That was Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool boss. I'm Ross. This is Off the Ball. And in the studio with me, we've got Gogolin.
Hello.
Sorry about Villa. Craig Moraes is also here.
Hello, hello.
How come no sorry about that?
Sorry about United. and Stuart Cavins is here.
What you got?
Hey, sorry about the shirt.
It's a Christmas shirt. It's a bit of brightness. Bring some brightness to the studio.
Watch Mindster Stories for the shit.
Oh, tweet us at BFM Radio. Really have a word with Cavenzo about that shirt. Also, follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. It's BFM Football. The Champions League draw was done moments ago, and you may have heard bits on the news. The holders, Liverpool, have drawn Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, tough tie for them, but I think, you know, with the second leg at home.
Juicy tie there.
Juicy. Yeah. I mean, I think there are a few juicy ties there, but with the second leg at home, I think they'll be fancying their chances.
Yeah. Well, Real Madrid versus Man City jumps out at you, right?
It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you got two great footballing teams. I mean, Real Madrid, obviously, this season have their own, or over the last 12 months or so, have had their own problems. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they gauge themselves. I think City. You know, you look domestically and they must have, you know, kind of given that one up and say, look, we're going to put all our focus into Europe and winning that.
Do you think they've given it up already?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to try.
Obviously, but in Pep's head.
Yeah, 100%. I think they'll be turning their focuses to Europe.
Yep.
I think they should, actually.
Yeah. Whether they're good enough is another question altogether.
True.
Chelsea against Bayern Munich, Stuart. You like that one?
Yeah, well, that'll be the end of Chelsea. Although I did the last Champions League final I went to was Chelsea versus Bayern Munich, where Bayern Munich absolutely battered them and somehow contrived to lose that game, and Chelsea won the European
Cup.
Drogba
scored.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's one of the most one-sided games, smash and grab games I've ever seen. But yeah, there's very little chance that Chelsea will do anything against Bayern. Yeah.
Gogolin, do you like Tottenham Hotspur versus Leipzig?
Yeah, I was just talking to Charles earlier before the show, and he says Leipzig, you know, they're high on Red Bull. Well, that's a tasty one, you know.
Yes.
I quite like the Napoli-Barcelona as well.
Napoli-Barcelona, Borussia Dortmund against PSG. You got Lyon against Juve. You expect Juve to progress there. And Atalanta against Valencia.
Come on, Atalanta.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 point after four rounds. Nicely done. All right, let's clear up the weekend's EPL action. We start with Liverpool. We heard Klopp at the start of the show. Liverpool were made to work in the 2-0 against Watford. And again, VAR ruling out a perfectly good one armpit hair offside goal. It was...
It really killed my fantasy football team.
I triple captained him.
You triple captained him.
Wow.
He killed him.
I just captained him.
There was a statement from Klopp after the game that they don't celebrate goals anymore because they have to wait and let somebody...
It kills it. Because, right? I mean, you know, you look at this where Mane actually celebrated the whole goal and it was ruled out. You look at the other way around, which is Dan Gosling at Chelsea, which we'll talk about later, who didn't celebrate. And then it was a goal. So, it definitely kills the mood, kills the momentum. And you don't like whether it's offside or not, you don't like to see players, well, the ball kind of end up in the back of the net. And players just walk back to the centre circle.
Technically, it's going to be a dead silence. Yeah. Everybody walks back to the centre circle.
And nobody knows what's going on.
In the old day, that was a perfectly legitimate goal.
Obviously, every football ground around the world.
Last year?
we need to bring that back. Because VAR isn't that good, everybody's assuming that VAR is perfect at picking this up, but it isn't calibrated well enough, it isn't accurate enough well enough to be able to pick these things up. We're pretending it is. So we need to go back to the either in line, but I don't like in line, or daylight.
Daylight, there needs to be a margin of error. That's going to be brought in.
What happened to when they gave the benefit of the doubt to the attacker? Remember, the offside was always giving the benefit of the doubt to the attacker.
That was when it was just a linesman, right? And that's human error and all that. But I looked at that replay again, and even when they froze it, I still can't see
how was the offside.
If you're looking at that, and I think it was
Mane's sleeve of his shirt.
But even
literally,
whichever angle you look at it, like, it still looks like the Watford's defender's hand. It's still, you know, a little bit further up.
But the ref can always tell the call, right?
Hands and arms don't count for offside.
Hands and arms don't count.
No, it's what you can score with. So it's literally your shoulder, your knee, your feet, and your legs.
But you score with your hands as well.
The very point, if you're Thierry Henry or Diego Maradona. But the very point that we're wasting our time talking about it is, it just shows that it's the rules that are wrong, and it's not necessarily VAR that's wrong, the rules wrong. But what I would say about the celebrating thing, you have to have it on the screens in the stadium. That's the only way you can make this better rather than just sitting there.
It says VAR checking, but it's 3.5-4 minutes long.
I mean show the film. Like they do in rugby or tennis or cricket, show it so you can see it in the stadium, so it becomes part of the entertainment.
We've got to mention the two Watford misses. I mean, Kapoue and Sarr.
Liverpool weren't great in this game. No. They really struggled in the first half, struggled to break down. If you're down the bottom, you're playing a top-of-the-table team, right? And the thing about it is, I think the first one was Doucouré. The Doucouré chance. I mean, Doucouré is a good player. I do rate him, and he gets goals. From 8 yards out or whatever it was, 12 yards out. It was just ridiculous. Completely.
You don't get goals if you miss the ball.
Yeah, but then you thought that was bad, and then Sars comes over, and you just thought, "Oh, that's."
I had my son laughing throughout the whole game. He's like, "I would have scored."
I mean, and then De Bruyne goes and does what he did last night.
But despite these misses we're talking about, we saw fight from this Watford side. Yep. Nigel Pearson's Watford,
well organised.
Have they got a chance? Is he in early enough to help save them from the drop?
He is in early enough. Whether he does or not is a different question.
Oh, he's definitely early enough.
Yeah.
There are only two managers that have kept a team up in the Premier League era that are bottom at Boxing Day. I know we're not at Boxing Day yet, but we're nearly. Nigel Pearson's one of them at Leicester, and Brian Robson is the other one when West Brom had that huge. And guess who was assistant manager? Nigel Pearson. But he's still not
West Brom's
the
first team to break the tradition, right? Mm. Right.
Okay, but I'm looking at the table now, and Watford obviously 9 points. Southampton on 15.
Yeah,
and you know it's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
Villa 15. You know it's not impossible.
It's a three game bounce. Yeah, but everything's a three game margin of error, you know.
Okay, let's talk about Leicester City versus Norwich. It was first versus 20th, Liverpool versus Watford. It was second versus 19th. Should have been two home bankers. Leicester were lackluster. Brendan Rodgers forced to make first half substitutions. It was 1-1. Pukki with the Norwich goal. And this all works towards Liverpool's favour.
That just shows you. That's the difference between champions and non-champions, that Liverpool can play as badly as they did and still get through it and somehow win the game. They scored two really good goals. Great counter-attack in football. Leicester don't have the mentality to do that. That's why Liverpool will win the league.
Yeah, I think one of the main things, I mean, we talk about Leicester and how good they've been this season and you know, they're surpassing everyone's expectations. But the problem will always come back to the issue that I have with Leicester is that, you know, the squad's not big enough. They can't rotate. Yeah, yeah. And they try to do that in this game. You know, they try to play Iheanacho, they try to play Pratt, but it didn't work.
No.
It didn't work for them. So those half-time and those
mid-game substitutions. Yeah.
They had to be done, you know. Yeah. And that will be the problem in the long run. If we're talking about over 38 games of the season, and I still think they can challenge for the top four, but they don't have that luxury. If they have a couple of injuries, if someone's not 100% fit, they can't rotate it don't still get the same functioning teams.
But that falls down again now also to Liverpool, because their injuries are piling up. And they don't have the depth because come Champions League.
But they do, though.
Oh, they do. And they've been rested.
Obviously, Leicester doesn't have the same depth as Liverpool.
Okay, you say that. Over the last few weeks, they've rested Firmino, Salah, Mane.
Okay, Wijnaldum's gone off. Apparently, we'll...
Gigi's out, right?
Well, they'll know today. They're finding out...
Keita coming for him.
Yeah, they got Keita.
You know, you got Milner that's still...
Lovren's got a question mark over him as well.
But you got Joe Gomez that comes in, who's an England international. So, I mean...
And Matip to come back as well.
Who's the
best out of the three of them?
True. I think with Liverpool, you know, it's the fullbacks as well. You know, if one of them gets injured, okay, maybe on the right you can.
On the right you can get
Joe Gomez there, but on the left they don't really have would be like Milner filling in.
Milner over the weekend, you could see why they were struggling a bit because you didn't have the Robertson's runs.
Exactly.
And passes, right?
Exactly. So those fullbacks are so important to the way that Liverpool play.
All right. Well, Liverpool are off. Actually, they're playing Carabao Cup. Then they're off to the World Cup. anyway, well, more about that later. Let's move on with the weekend's EPL. Sunday's game, then Arsenal 0, Man City 3. Here's Pep Guardiola.
No, against United we play better. Come on, a blind guy can watch it. So we play better. So we made incredible result. Congratulations to the team for the program we have done. But I think the way we played against United was a little bit better in many, many things. But the situation that we have, start the game 17 points behind, so in Arsenal away, so it's big congratulations to the team. But I know here we are judged for the results, not for the performance, but the managers, we have the duty to analyse the performance, not just the result.
Man City manager Pep Guardiola, after his team went to the Emirates and beat Arsenal 3-0. Let's start with Arsenal, gents. This new manager bounce off an egg. Literally, new manager bounce off an egg.
You can't have a new manager bounce if your team is so unbelievably bad. Do you know what? I was meant to say this last week and I forgot. But Arsenal remind me of when you used to play Football Manager, or people still play Football Manager, Champ Manager. And it's a team where you've bought players all over the years, but you haven't been able to buy the players you want. You just bought it because you wanted to spend money. So you've ended up stuck with a team that's completely and utterly unbalanced. You've got no defenders worth the name defender. You've got no defensive midfielders worth the name defensive midfielder. And then you decide, I'll just make them play all-out attack. Totally open. They are awful. They're a comedy football team.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Lundberg in at the moment. We all feel for him, right? Freddie Lundberg.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a tough position, mainly because...
He's the guy that's taken over the Football Manager. Disaster. He can't just restart the game.
He's been asked to take over.
Yeah, he's been asked to take over.
He's got a poor Mentiseca helping him out with his academy... coach, because the whole backroom staff has gone with Emery.
No, I want to instantly compare Duncan Ferguson and Everton. He just came in, same thing, inherited the same squad of players, but he's got Everton playing at 120%, right?
I mean, it's a bit hard because there's a lot of factors that are involved with Arsenal that Everton don't exactly have. You know, I mean,
no defensive midfielders.
Yeah, I mean, there's a massive fan revolt against the club. I mean, you saw this was Arsenal versus City yesterday. The amount of empty seats at the stadium. Yeah,
but first, let's go back to that game. Why would you play a high press against City when you know you're going to play?
The tactics were wrong. Yeah.
Until the first minute, they could have scored the goal.
Yeah.
But other than that, City just played around them and hit them.
Oh, yeah.
On the counter.
I mean, like Stu said, you know, you're looking at a team which has no protection for Bernd Leno, who obviously throughout the season has been their best player.
Yeah. Amazing
saves.
He was the player of the month.
Yeah, but you can see why. Yeah. Because they're so open. There's no protection in midfield. The defenders can't defend. And Leno's doing a one-man show at the back. And they're so top-heavy. I mean, going forward, they've got good, talented players. I mean, when you can afford someone like Lacazette to sit on the bench, you know you've got a decent attack. Yeah. But these boys up front, they barely get the ball anyway.
Exactly.
Because there's no one to feed them to. Yeah. So you can have the quality of Aubameyang. You can have the quality of Pepe. I think Martinelli's a fantastic young prospect. But what's the point in having them when you can't give them the ball to do what they were meant to do?
And especially against a team like City, where City must just look. They must just look at Arsenal and think, I wish we could play you every week. Because, you know, when other teams like Man United play City, they sit in, they play in the counter-attack. When the little teams, they try and sit in and play in the counter-attack. Yeah. Arsenal decide, well, let's go toe-to-toe with Kevin De Bruyne. He could have won that game on his own. That Arsenal midfield was so far away from De Bruyne. And okay, De Bruyne is one of the best players in the world, but they were so standoff of him that he could have won that game on his own.
But
they're a disgrace.
Kevin Nolan made a great point last night. Mm. And he said, you know, if you were Freddie Ljungberg, you'd look at that United game and set up exactly the same way.
Absolutely.
Because that's the only way you're going to get it. And going forward, they've got exactly the same kind of pace that United have.
I thought that's what they were going to do.
Going forward, but you can't do that if you haven't got even halfway competent defender in the whole club, then you can't sit in. No competent defensive midfielder.
But Kevin De Bruyne's first goal, wow.
Amazing. What a player. It's great to see him back.
He's taking a side foot into the top.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
And I think a lot of players, you know, no matter, you know, even at the elite level, you know, they would have put their foot through it, you know. But the amazing thing about him, he controlled it.
Unbelievable.
There was still a defender on the line.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So he had to get it out.
And he put his head down.
Yeah, and Kolasinac, you know.
He put his head down.
I mean, we give Kolasinac.
Because we saw Fred try one in the match before.
The thing about Kolasinac, we spoke about him, you know, a few months ago when the incident that he had off the field. And this is him taking on two men with knives.
That's right.
Knives. And now he has a ball here's a ball flying at you and he ducks out of the
way.
Understand.
But let's also talk about that substitution.
Sorry?
Let's also talk about the substitution. How long that substitution took for, what's his name?
To come back on. Yeah. And that's for the second goal, I think it was, right?
They were 10 men down.
That is my absolute bugbear, that a substitute is not ready immediately to be on the pitch. Mm-hmm. That, I know he's a kid, and it's not really his fault.
It's not his fault, yeah.
He had 4 minutes to get ready.
Yeah, I know, it's my absolute bugbear, you're completely right.
It should be Freddie Ljungberg or Mertesacker saying, boys, go get warm.
Exactly,
the whole group of them, go get warm.
Yeah, and don't wear 15 jumpers that it takes you 4 minutes to take them all off.
All right, well, Arsenal, work in progress. Oh. Who's going to take that hot seat?
Can we just say, did Pep at the start of this say that they were better against United than they were against Arsenal?
He was raging.
Yeah. He kept saying they were much more controlled in the United game.
Not too sure about that.
I don't know what Pep is.
I think that's one of those, and you see these games where a team is so far on top in the first half and then they didn't bother.
They just turned off.
So I think that's one of those where then the manager gets really annoyed.
All right, first break. Back with more of the weekend's football right after this.
Where's the try? And he's always prepared to give it a go.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Captain, leader, legend.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Stuart, Craig and Gogolin in the studio. Continuing our look at the weekend's football, then Chelsea 0, Bournemouth 1. Here's Frank Lampard.
Well, disappointing, obviously, to lose at home. An organised Bournemouth come here with a plan to defend deep, lots of numbers behind the ball. And then the onus is on us to break them down. We weren't good enough at doing that. And then if you don't do that, you leave yourself open to the fact that they might get a goal from a set piece or from a breakaway, and that happens. So it's a story that we've had here a bit this season. We've won some games where we have managed to get our goal, but when you don't, it becomes difficult. So we're disappointed.
Yeah, a bit gutted, old Frank. They're not on a good run at the moment, Chelsea. 1-0 home defeat to Bournemouth makes it 4 losses in their last 5, and... Yeah, good job poor. The transfer ban's lifted. They can buy.
Yeah, it's poor they do. They need to buy it. You know, you think a young team and everything, so they're a bit inconsistent. So you can't be too critical. Yeah. You can't be too surprised that they lose a few games. Strange thing going on at home where they can't score goals and can't win games at home. But they desperately probably need another striker and they desperately need another centre-back.
Yeah, I think it was a flat performance, you know, watching them. like Stu, yeah, I don't want to be too critical for them because I think that they've played really well with the constraints that they've had this season. We all know how talented the academy boys that have played are. But, you know, you're never going to get, you know, a 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 performance every week. And in the Premier League, when you're playing at these, I mean, you look at Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, Reece James, you know, they're all guys that have played at championship level, you know, and you could probably get away with a similar type of performance, maybe get a win. But to do that on a weekly basis. But, you know, I can't really fault the academy boys. It was the senior players as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some guys who are playing in World Cup finals, World Cup winners, played in Champions Leagues. And they didn't really show that little bit of desire that was needed, you know. And you know, Bournemouth, you know they were going to come. You knew they were going to make it tough for them. Defensively, I thought they were really, really well organised. I thought the two centre-backs were fantastic throughout.
This is the injuries they have as well, right?
I mean, you know, Nathan Ake out.
Exactly.
You know, they've got a few, Callum Wilson. But, you know, it was such an important win for Eddie Howe as well.
Why aren't Arsenal going for Eddie Howe right now? Why aren't they considering Eddie
Howe? Losses in the build-up to this
He's done enough at Bournemouth, sure.
To me, I would be, certainly if I was Everton, Arsenal, I think Eddie Howe's a fantastic manager.
But with the managers available right now in the market.
But big guys are already turning them down and saying no thanks. Yeah. You know,
a club like Arsenal is not going to go for Eddie Howe.
Maybe it's time they thought about something like that.
I think for the long-term project, instead of going for somebody like Emery, Eddie Howe,
but he's what he's done with Bournemouth is absolutely fabulous, and we kind of forget because we're so used to them being in the league all the time now. Now we're thinking, oh, maybe they should be doing a little bit better, and they always end up going in these streaks.
Doesn't it look bad for Eddie Howe himself, the fact that he is still there as well? Because we're all saying this now, right? Millions of miles away in Malaysia going...
Looks bad for him.
Well, yeah, because...
The fact that he's there.
Yeah, you think, hang on, has he not got any ambition? Does he just want 10,000 crowds forever?
But it's not a fault of his. Like, I don't think there has been official approaches that have been made, you know, and I think if there has been...
But it must come to a point when you're standing 5 losses on the bounce, you must go, right, listen...
They do it every year. This happens to them every year.
But the thing about it, you know, we criticise chairmen when they pull the trigger. You know, there's absolutely no need, even if Bournemouth were to get relegated. I don't think, for what he's done for that club, you know, there's no way you can.
You can say that for Sean Dyche as well.
Same thing. Yeah. But, you know, just going back to this game, we spoke about briefly about the goal just now, you know, Dan Gosling's goal, you know, and... You could have, as the game was going on, you could have sensed something that, because on the break, I thought Bournemouth were fantastic with the pace of Fraser when he was there, Josh King when he was on there, you know, and then Solanke comes on as well and adds that little bit more. I thought, you know, going forward, I thought Bournemouth gave them a few problems here and there. But I think Emerson, that big chance he had just before the goal, that was a game changer. You know, you just felt it wasn't going to go Chelsea's way then.
All right, let's move on. Some of the other games. Sunday's early kickoff was Man United 1, Everton 1. Man United had a chance to close to within 2 points of fourth place with a win. They scored an own goal, a Lindelof own goal, and it took a Mason Greenwood sub appearance on the 4,000th for Academy. to equalise.
What a talent he is, isn't he? He's an astonishing talent. That's all. That's all I'm going to say about this game. No, I'm only joking. What talent he is.
Should he start more? Because you look at what Martial is giving the club, all the sulky faces every week, and you just go...
With Martial, you know he's that type of player. Yeah. He's never going to be... So he could score a hat-trick and he wouldn't smile. You know, he scored in the derby last week and he didn't smile. You know, I mean, he's just... I think people can't read too much into, you know, his facial expressions and his body language because he's just that type of player. He's a fantastic player, I think. But, you know, in this game, you know, it's the same old story that United have had this season.
When they've dominated,
teams sit deep, you know, they don't give you the space to allow you to exploit, and United struggle to break teams down.
So they need to sign a CAM, an attacking-minded central midfielder.
Well, they have a playmaker, that's Paul Pogba, but they just need to get him fit. I think he's back into training this week. He's so crucial. You know, Fred, I think, has played really well. I think McTominay is fantastic.
But you're asking them to dictate games.
Yeah, well, you're asking for that bit of quality with that forward pass, you know, a bit of quality to unlock the defence, and And Fred obviously is not that type of player to do it. Mm. You know, McTominay's more defensive minded.
Although, to be fair, McTominay did dictate the game here because he booted the ball so hard off Lingard's face, he had to go off, he had to go off injured and bring Greenwood on. So you could say that McTominay made that. Did he get an assist there for that?
No, back to Greenwood. Isn't he going to be the type of player who's going to come off the bench all the time?
Yeah,
no,
but
it's going to be the impact player.
That's too good for
that. You've got to remember he's 18.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you could easily just throw him into the deep end and say, go play. And ideally, I'm sure he'd like that.
I'm going to throw a name out there. Christian Eriksen wants out of Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
It'll suit it. I mean, he'll be a player that can unlock a defence. Wamata's not the same type of player. Even when he came on, you could see he was quality when he was in his prime.
You just work on your charity and your blogs. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, but you've got Christian Eriksen, like you said, available. Yeah. I mean, I think United will be mad not to be in for him.
That would be a great
fit. But the only problem is that you've got the European teams that will be eligible to sign him come January, United have to wait till the summer.
But you know, everybody thought he was going to go to Real Madrid in summer. He thought he was going to go to Real Madrid in summer.
Yeah.
Zidane obviously decided
he
didn't want
to. I think that bridge is burnt. Yeah.
What is it though? Because Real Madrid aren't doing that well, so they could panic buy it and just go into the summer and do it.
I'd say they're more likely to get Pogba, and then you can use that money to get Eriksen.
I would also agree there. Yeah. All right. Let's move on and talk about Jose Mourinho's Spurs. 2-1 winners against Wolves. So two losses, four wins for the humble one.
Fantastic.
The smash and grab
Mourinho.
This one.
Total smash and grab. Wolves were brilliant in this game. Absolutely brilliant in this game. The football they played, the attacking, both the wingers were fantastic. The centre midfielders were great. Football they played. Yeah. Classic Mourinho. Oh, you guys are really good. Bump, bump. We beat you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that Lucas Moura goal to start proceedings, I thought was fantastic. Bit of class there, and I don't think anyone can defend or stop that. And then, like you said, and I thought it was just Wolves, and then when Traore scores that absolute belter of a goal, then you thought, okay, we're game on, and it's only going to go one way. And it just, I always struggle, you know, when centre backs are that free in the box from set pieces. I just don't understand
the
thinking.
Yeah, they switched off the end, right? It was like the 94th minute or something.
The one guy I can understand if, you know, it was someone else, but like Lucas Moura pops up with a header from a set piece, or he's unmarked at the back post or something like that. But you talk about the first two guys that you mark are the centre-backs, I would have thought.
But the wee thing is, I don't totally, completely agree, but the thing is, Vertonghen was playing left-back.
He was,
so
yes.
They weren't picking him up as a centre-back. They left Traore to pick him up, but Traore left him. I agree, but that's what happened. Traore left him, so instead of having a proper marker against them.
So you're saying, like, within a game, when changes are made during a game, you know, players aren't smart enough to pick something like that up.
Of course.
I mean, he's
players,
6'4".
Players aren't smart enough.
He's going to be the most obvious guy.
You've literally like just seen that players aren't smart enough to pick that up in a game.
Just to go back to the players aren't smart thing, do you see how much Mason Greenwood had to take in on the flip ball?
He's doing revision.
The best thing, he kept flipping backwards and two-page forward, two-page back.
In for overload.
It worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, another break. Back with the Europa League draw as well, right after this.
Because whilst he's there, it's very difficult for other clubs to get near them. He's that good.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
England's highest quality title race of all time, but coming out on top again in the Premier League, Manchester City.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us, Gogolin, Craig and Stuart here. Europa League draw going on live right now. We should mention some of the teams. Man United's got, who you were saying?
Club Bruges.
Bruges.
Arsenal, Olympiacos.
Wolves versus Espanyol. Copenhagen against Celtic.
Yeah, you finally made it to the big teams.
Yeah, big Copenhagen are good this year, right?
No. Celtic will win that easily.
Olympiacos against Arsenal.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a nice tester for Lundberg, I think.
I think JDT versus Arsenal should be scared. So Engel can take on Arsenal.
If you're right now, if you're an Olympiacos centre midfielder, you're thinking to yourself, this is going to be the easiest game of the season. Nobody will be anywhere near me.
Unless it was the same Arsenal then.
Just to recap some of the Champions League last 16 draws, all happening this evening somewhere posh in Europe. Dortmund versus PSG, which is tasty.
Yeah, well, that's a good game.
Are PSG good enough to win the
No.
That's Tuchel against his old club.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
I don't think they're good enough to win it. I mean, on paper, obviously, you know.
PSG this year, everybody's been talking up PSG on the Champions League
circuit.
They've
been doing that for the last 3 years.
Yeah, you know, they're gelling. It's
more, I mean, they've got a talisman, the main player that doesn't want to be there. I think they've got a lot of problems. I mean, I think they'll get through this. You know, I've seen a bit of Dortmund this season. It'll be tough, but I think they'll get through this. But I just can't see them in, you know,
PSG is an outside bet. It sounds actually quite good.
Lyon, Juventus. Juventus are set up to win the Champions League.
Not with Sarri. Ball, they're not. Maybe under Conte, I would have believed that, but not with Sarri. I'd give Lyon a fighting chance here for sure.
I'm actually going with Juve. Yeah, I'm with you. I backed into Milan at the start of the season. Yeah. They just kind of missed out on that. But I think Juve can go all the way. I think with Dybala, I think they've got good firepower, good squad, strong squad.
Yeah.
I think they can do it, yeah, definitely.
If Jose Mourinho only wins one trophy per club, he's going to want it to be this one. with Spurs, they've got Leipzig. They've drawn Leipzig. It's an attractive-looking tie, this one, on paper.
It is. I don't think it'll be an easy one, but you'd expect Spurs to get through easily.
Mourinho, cup manager.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mourinho for the Champions League again.
Again?
I mean, it's wide open. They're not going to win it, let's be honest. They're not going to get to the
Mourinho.
Final. Mourinho? Nah. Sorry.
Napoli versus Barcelona.
They're not going to get into the final, is it? Not even win it.
Yeah, both.
Also Spurs.
They need to get to the final to win it.
We have to assume Spurs are going to buy some players in January before.
I'm sure Mourinho is going to buy some players in February.
Yeah, Matic. Did we assume that? Matic is not cup tied. Moran Fellaini can come back. Yeah, exactly.
Where is Fellaini?
China. Yeah. He's really been linked to them.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Napoli versus Barcelona. Now,
that's tasty. That is tasty.
Yeah. Napoli, still no manager.
Yeah, still no manager.
Napoli, yeah.
But Barca, they.
What? Still Gattuso?
He doesn't count. He's not a real manager.
He signed for
Napoli.
Oh,
but he's not a real manager. It's Gattuso.
straight after they sacked Ancelotti, they got Gattuso.
I thought it was a caretaker kind of thing.
No. They signed him on. I like this Napoli side. I mean, I don't understand the whole. Obviously there was a lot of off-field issues with the players having to report for an extra training camp. This, that, the other.
The chairman decided that the players must go to extra training. Ancelotti said, the player said, no thanks.
Yeah.
Ancelotti said, okay, you don't have to. Chairman said, Ancelotti, you're fired.
Yeah. Well, the fans come down to the training ground and confront them as well.
Yeah, love
Italy,
doing that.
I just feel, you look at the Spanish teams, your Real Madrid, your Barcelona, I don't think either of them have been firing on all cylinders this season. You know, so it's there. I mean, where else in previous seasons you could have said, okay, yeah, Real Madrid this year, Barcelona this year. I don't think it's that. Yeah. I think it's very open.
Okay.
So, you know, my pick with Juve, it's kind of based on that. But don't rule out Man City.
You can't pick a new team every time. Every time your team gets knocked out.
I can't stick with Inter Milan, can I?
Yes, you can.
You're out of it now.
For the Europa League. Okay, let's go.
What are you, cameras, lad?
Yeah.
just to recap on the Europa League round of 32 then. Wolves versus Espanyol, Sporting Lisbon versus Istanbul, Getafe against Ajax, Bayer Leverkusen against Porto, Copenhagen against Celtic, Apoel FC against FC Basel, Cluj against Sevilla, Olympiacos against Arsenal, Alkmaar against LASK, Club Brugge against Man United, Ludogorets against Inter Milan, Eintracht Frankfurt against Salzburg, Shakhtar Donetsk against Benfica, Wolfsburg against Malmo, Roma against Ghent, and Rangers, your favourite club, Sue, against Braga.
Oh, yeah.
Ajax for the Europa Cup.
Yeah.
There's a lot of decent teams
there. There are.
All the drop downs from the Champions League, you look at how Salzburg were playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salzburg are excellent. Yeah.
A good team. Very good team. I think, you know, you talk about the Champions League, I think the Europa League has, you know, once that drop down is made, you know, with the likes of Inter Milan and all that coming down, Ajax and all that, you know, you've got a stronger one, you know, it's going to be exciting. I think there's some good matches there.
If you all had to pick one team to win the Europa now,
Celtic.
Ajax,
United.
Except Stuart.
Well, I'm not going to win it. Yeah. Celtic will.
I've got to stick to my Inter Milan prediction, yeah, surely, right?
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, brilliant stuff. We'll take our final break then. When we come back, we'll wrap up the EPL weekend and give you the winners and losers and talk about the midweek Carabao Cup all next.
Where's the try? And he's always prepared to give it a go.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Captain, leader, legend.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking with us, Gogolin, Craig and Stuart in the studio. Just to wrap up the weekend's football, going into the weekend, we were saying the man under most pressure was Pellegrini at West Ham. He had to win, otherwise it was a sacking. It was Southampton 0, West Ham 1, dull as dishwater. It was boring as...
Yeah, that was the late kickoff.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, man.
Oh, it was perfect, just enough to put everyone to bed.
It really did. But then you have to get up and turn off the telly and then be really annoyed afterwards. But yeah, job saved for a while.
For now.
Yeah, for now. Hey, one thing about this game, Mikel and Antonio had a cracking game, didn't they? And it was nice. It was interesting to see Hala finally score a goal.
Mm. I think that was the most important thing for West Ham as well. You know, £40 million. I think they signed him, and you know, hasn't really looked anywhere near like a Premier League striker.
Mm.
Maybe this goal gives him a bit of confidence, because that's one big thing about West Ham. You know, they didn't have a goal scorer. You know, you talked about Mikel Antonio. I mean, you know, he's a fantastic player.
Yeah, when he's not a striker as well.
But when he's not, I mean, he's one of those players who can play anywhere.
Yeah.
But he's just not fit often enough.
And
Haller, £40 million, you expect him to, you know, come in there. I think it was £40 million. It was a lot of money.
More, I think it's 45 if I read somewhere. Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, I think, was it last week they beat Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
And this week again.
Two weeks ago they beat Chelsea.
Two weeks ago.
Then there was a couple of losses, I think. Yeah. And then they back. I mean,
he needed this win, like you said. He really needed it.
He's still
job.
The next favourite manager. And him and Hasenhüttl at Southampton, you must think he's in danger as well.
I don't get you why Pellegrini is still favourite to get the sack, though. I mean, West Ham are doing what West Ham are doing. They're not going to be shooting above their pay grade.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, it goes back to the money that's been invested since he's been there and all this. And West Ham fans think they're entitled to compete for the top six for some weird reason, and,
exactly.
and that's what it is.
It's just that because he doesn't smile, I think that's all.
Be careful what you wish for. You might get Big Sam back. You might get David
Moyes
back.
They might like Big Sam.
You make it sound like it's a bad thing.
And then they'll all complain about that too. Yeah. As once
he's got 100% record at England manager. Don't slag off Big Sam.
Wrapping up with Gogolin's favourite match then. Sheffield United 2, Aston Villa 0. Villa are teetering. They're in 17th.
We'll be all right.
You're only out of the relegation zone on goal difference.
Yeah, thanks to that West Ham game.
And then your Grealish guy goes and misses a penalty.
I know, right? I'm having men's in my fantasy football.
The best thing about this was I was actually with the Cogs when the match was going on. So I can't get Cogs. What's the score? He chucks his phone on the table. It's amazing. It's quality.
No, but I mean, we've said how well Smith's been doing, and rightly so. But they're now it's
look.
More.
Yeah, I know. We played the top six. We got 10 points out of it, which is all right. But this game, I don't understand why everybody had this thing about Sheffield United. Sheffield United are doing well way between the other, right?
Of course,
So this was a tough game. I mean, of course, the penalty miss hurt in the end, but we need to pick up points again, like we're playing Everton soon. Southampton soon. Yeah. Those are the games that I'm going to be worried about.
I mean, even Sheffield United, though. I mean, newly promoted side as well, like yourselves. Mm. And you know, it is a game you need to get 3 points on, no matter how well they're playing, with the investment as well that you guys have put in.
I know you're winding them up, but there's nobody thought that Aston Villa would be a match for Sheffield United in this game.
I didn't think so.
But you expect them to go out and get points against
Not after what's happened this season. Sheffield United are way better than
shoulders
they lost 3-0 last week?
Yeah, but they're seventh in the league.
They're playing at home against Villa. I would. That's another home back.
And that's Chris Wilder.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He's doing really good. I mean, the players he has.
Right? No, absolutely. I had them as rock bottom 20th. My tip to go down.
I looked at the business and the transfer market in the summer, and it wasn't anything that you'd be like anything to suggest.
You couldn't have paid someone to buy Lys Mousset.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. What I was saying.
Look at what he's doing.
Could barely make the bench at Bournemouth.
So there was a thing. I think was there two. So in this game, there were two Villa players from the Championship squad that started. And there were seven players from the Sheffield United that started. That tells its tale. But I think what it tells is that Chris Wilder is an absolutely first-class manager.
Yeah.
What he's done with those players is just out of this world fantastic.
Yeah. Agreed.
John Fleck with a double.
So John Fleck was a young boy that came through at Rangers, and he was talked about, but he couldn't get into the team, and then he went down to the English lower leagues. And... you know,
he was in like Coventry and Blackpool. And
Blackpool, wasn't it? He's good. You certainly wouldn't expect him to boss a midfield at John McGinn's in if you want to have the fight of the Scottish Johns in centre midfield. But he did. He absolutely bossed
McGinn. Yeah. McGinn's having him on a slump at the
moment. He's on a dip, yeah.
Do Villa need to spend in January you can't go through the second half of the season like this.
Agreed. I mean, I need Wesley to step up. He needs to start scoring goals. We can't be depending on really short term. Mings is out until, I think, end of the year. So, yeah, I mean, again, I'm really worried when you play against teams, the Southamptons and the Evertons. You know, we got to pick up points in there. We just need to stay in the
But probably. I go back to West Ham, you know, and I think you're exactly the same position. You know, big money forward.
Yeah.
And he's just not producing. And I think when you come up to Premier League, you know, you really need that because you can rely on Jack Grealish to chip in, you know, 10-15 maybe goals a season if you're lucky, 15. But you expect him to get about 10 with set pieces and everything like that. But, you know, with your striker, you need someone there to at least guarantee you 15 if you have a chance of staying up. And then you can just look over, you spoke about, you know, you've got Southampton coming up. You got someone like Danny Ings there who, you know, Southampton aren't playing well, you know, but he keeps scoring goals. Yeah. And it gives you that little bit of a chance, you know. I mean, you look at Southampton and you can say manager's under pressure and, you know, they're 18th in the league or whatever it is. But with someone like that, you know, you go into a game and you say, okay, I've got Danny Ings here. I fancy a
the
goal or two here, you know.
Danny Ings, opposed to Wesley right now.
Yeah.
You'll take Ings any day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's your weekend's EPL, your weekend's winners and losers then.
This week's winners and losers.
Monday's big winner is Mo Salah. Liverpool's Egyptian king is back to his best with a beautifully taken double against the stubborn Watford on Saturday. Salah has now scored 84 goals in 126 appearances in all competitions for Liverpool. That's two more than Luis Suarez netted in 133 games. So for making sure that Liverpool's charge at the top remains with the 16th win of the season, we say Mo Salah, you are Monday's main man. Honourable mentions go to Eddie Howe and Bournemouth, a massive win at Chelsea to cut their run of five consecutive losses. To Sean Dyche and Burnley, it was a welcome home win that stops a run of three straight defeats. To Daniel Farke and Norwich City, a valuable point picked up at the King Power against a red-hot Leicester side. To Sheffield United's John Fleck, the Scotland international scored a brace from his two shots on target to ensure Sheffield remain in the top half. To Mason Greenwood for being a point-saving academy graduate in a match that marked the 4,000th consecutive game in which Manchester United have named an academy player in their matchday squad. To Wolves' Adama Traore, he was a threat throughout and scored against Spurs despite being on the losing side. And finally, to Kevin De Bruyne of Man City, two goals and an assist that tore apart Arsenal on Sunday. His first was a rocket. Monday's big loser would have to be Freddie Ljungberg and Arsenal. Actually, it's unfair to blame Ljungberg for Arsenal's malaise. This club was broken before he was handed control, although he will have seen it coming as a member of Emery's backroom team before he was shown the door. Arsenal and their interim manager have had zero effect on a team in decline, and this is now a pressing issue for the club's decision makers. So to the Arsenal hierarchy, you are Monday's biggest losers. Dishonourable mentions go to Frank Lampard and Chelsea. They lacked tempo and creativity and were undone by a resolute Bournemouth defence. To Dean Smith and Aston Villa, no win in four now, crashed to their third consecutive defeat at Sheffield United to leave them hovering above the relegation places. To Ralph Hasenhüttl and Southampton, their last two losses against Newcastle and West Ham have dragged them into the relegation zone. And finally to Brendan Rodgers and Leicester City. On a weekend where first played 20th and second played 19th at home, Rodgers and his side just didn't deliver.
Producer Tasha there with the weekend's winners and losers. Do not cross, Producer Tasha. One game left in round 17 of the weekend's EPL. It's 10th place Crystal Palace against 13th place Brighton. If you lived in the UK or you know a lot about English football, this is actually a derby. Yeah. Crystal Palace against Brighton, their fans absolutely detest each other. We were off air trying to find out the reason why.
Yeah, see, everyone knows that it's a derby, but no one knows why.
No one knows why.
There's this big article on The Guardian. If you all have time, look it up. It explains what happened on a certain game. And after that, it became like they hated each other.
Yeah. I was going to say, if only there was some way we could find this out, surrounded by computers and phones.
isn't that why I prepare these notes in the morning and send them to you guys? So that when I come in the evening...
I thought it was because it was the Seagulls versus the Eagles.
No. There's some particular incident.
Liverpool are playing...
I wonder if we can ask Shankar, actually. He should know.
Yeah.
Or maybe Cam's are probably a Palace fan.
I started it in 78. <Yeah. laughs> Liverpool at the World Club Cup. They are drawn straight into the semi-final. They take on Monterrey of Mexico. That's one semi-final. The other semi-final is Flamengo of Brazil against Al Hilal of Saudi. I want to say Saudi.
I'd want to say
Of the Middle East.
Of the Middle East.
It's a guess.
There's a reason why he sends his emails us in the morning, Stuart.
Please read your notes, Stuart.
So Liverpool are playing on Wednesday. On Tuesday, a shadow Liverpool squad with a shadow Liverpool manager and a shadow Liverpool coaching staff will all travel to Aston Villa, where they are red hot favourites, Gogolin, to knock your red hot favourites to knock Liverpool, the European champions, out the Carabao Cup on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at 3:45 a.m.
Can I just ask, what would it mean if...
I know, he lost. Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking that right now.
I mean, are you going to go with your full squad?
I heard
it's a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old in central midfield.
Al-Hilal is from Saudi, yeah, correct.
So you get I think Harvey Elliott. I mean, they got a great youth setup, Liverpool. You know, I don't think he'll be a walk in the park for Villa, but
no, exactly not. Yeah, yeah.
Rian Brewster finally gets a game.
We got Rian Brewster. No, I think you've got Harvey Elliott.
They're taking two of the youngsters with them to
just sit on the bench there.
Yeah, I think Brewster's one of them.
Okay,
I'm not sure about this, but Trent Alexander-Arnold might play. Did he get booked on the weekend?
No, he's gone. He's in the squad. He was named in the.
They're taking them anyway because they're treating it like a warm weather training camp.
He's actually on four yellow cards. Okay, so there was talk of him playing in this one, so he'd.
Should it be treated like a serious tournament?
Which one?
The World Club Cup.
No. Nonsense.
No, exactly.
Absolute nonsense.
But ahead of the Carabao Cup?
Both nonsense. the League Cup isn't that bad, but this World Club Cup... rubbish, it's nonsense.
I mean, the thing about...
And it's about to get bigger.
Yeah, the thing about with this is, you know, the problem that Liverpool face themselves in is the fact that, they've one of the matches they miss is the League Cup. They would have played their reserves anyway, you would think. But it's the Premier League, when it interferes with the Premier League, and that's where the problem is.
Agreed.
And Liverpool, West Ham, I think it was meant to be next week.
Yeah, so it's postponed.
That gets postponed, and, you know, it kind of... There could be a fixture congestion for them, and if they're going for Europe and I
tell you, if they get Andy Robertson injured or Trent injured or Van Dijk injured or one of the big strikers injured, they're not going to be too happy about that. Yeah.
All right,
or if Klopp hurts himself on a plane or something.
Yeah, or buys too much duty-free.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Some of the other Carabao Cups, Oxford United against Man City, Everton against Leicester City, and Man United against Colchester. That's your quarter-final Carabao Cup. That's it. That's all the time we have. So many thanks, Gogolin.
Cheers.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Stuart.
Thank you.
Have a great week, everybody. Spot you Friday. Bye-bye.
Off the Ball, every Monday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.
To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.